Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is emphasizing our position in Christ and how we should build upon that foundation with faithful service and pressing forward for Him. So notice in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3 verse 9, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So I've entitled the message, "Press Toward the Mark." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love You. We thank You for the privilege to open Your Word. May we grow from it this morning and learn. And may You change us through its power. We just want to commit the service to You and lift You up and give You all glory and pray that this message and this service will do that. And so we commit it to You and love You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the Apostle Paul here, again, he's talking about what we have in Christ and how we need to take that and go forward for Christ. And so he starts off there in verse 9 by talking about that we're found in Him. If you're a born-again Christian this morning, you can have the assurance that you are in Christ. Amen? And what could be better than to know that we are safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ? We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." We are in Christ. We're told in Colossians 3:3 that our life is hid with Christ in God. So we are in Him. And if you go to Jude verse 1, the Bible says that because we are in Him, we are actually preserved in Him. What a beautiful truth. Look at Jude and verse 1. The Bible says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." Hallelujah. If you're saved, you're in Him. And you're preserved in Him. And that is a foundation that we can go forward. It never changes that we are in Christ and we are preserved in Christ. And that no matter what the devil does, no matter what the world does, that will never change. Hallelujah. But what Paul is saying is we don't need to just now rest on our laurels because we have this assurance of being in Christ. But we now need to take that and move forward. So moving on in our passage, it says, verse 9 of Philippians 3, "Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." If you're in Christ, if you're born again this morning, you have the righteousness of Christ. It's already yours. And we're told there in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You have been made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You already have His righteousness. We're told in Romans 4:5 that our faith is counted for righteousness. And if you go to Ephesians 1:6, the Bible tells us that because of that, we are already accepted in the Beloved. And this is an important point this morning. If you're born again Christian, you're not here to earn something. You're here to please God. And those are two different things. You already have heaven. You already have righteousness. You already have God's acceptance. Notice Ephesians 1:6. "In whom we have redemption," "to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Your acceptability to God is 100% independent of your behavior. And a lot of Christians struggle with that. They think that because they do this or they don't do this, that they, makes them more acceptable than others. And nothing could be further from the truth. Your acceptability, your worthiness to be able to enter heaven one day, is completely independent of your behavior. And we need to get that settled in our hearts. It's 100% dependent on Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And because you are in Christ and because you have the righteousness of Christ, you are accepted. And God's going to let you into heaven one day, not because of what you did or didn't do, but because of what Jesus did. Amen? At Calvary. And that's important, that we understand that we have this foundation, that we are in Christ, that we are secure in Christ, that we are accepted in Christ, so that we can move forward and now serve Christ, not to try to earn heaven, not to try to earn God's favor or God's acceptance, but because we love him, because of all he's done for us in Christ. So two completely different motives. And so let's see what Paul's desire was here in Philippians 3. He says, we've got this foundation. We're in Christ. We have the righteousness of Christ. We're accepted in Christ. But notice what he wants. Number one, verse 10, that I may know him. You know, someday we're going to be with him forever. Amen? Wouldn't it make sense to do your best to know him as best as you can now? You know, Jesus said there in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, now that you've come to me, now that I've taken your burden, and now that you've taken your yoke or my yoke upon you and made me your master, I want you to learn of me. I want you to learn more about me. The Bible says we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in 2 Peter 3:18. Paul says, now that I have this foundation, now that I know heaven's mind, I have the righteousness of Christ, I'm accepted in the Lord, I want to know him better. And you know, that should be our goal too. How well do we know Jesus? And there's only one place you get to know him better, and that's in here. God wants us to truly desire to know more of Jesus. That would be our heart's desire, like Paul said, that I may know him. I want to know Jesus better. The one who did so much for me, the one who gave me everything, I want to know him. And you know, that should be our goal too. And part of knowing him here in verse 10 is to also know of his power. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Any power that we have to accomplish anything for the Lord comes from God. We have no power of our own. You know, Jesus even told the disciples after he rose from the dead, but before he ascended to heaven, he said, I want you to wait at Jerusalem. I want you to wait for the power. Because you don't have any yet. He said, I want you to wait until you be endued with power from on high. And we know that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down and indwelt Christians and has been ever since to give us his power. And he said, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Paul said, I want to know Jesus. I want to know his power. But what do we use his power for? To please ourselves? No. To serve ourselves? Absolutely not. He gives us power to serve him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, Paul said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And if you're born again, you have the power, but God wants you to know that power and utilize it for his glory. So Paul says, I want to know Jesus. Now that I have this foundation, I want to know Jesus. I want to know his power. But not only that, verse 10, he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. As I get to know Jesus Christ, I want to know more about what he went through for me. Now that's, a lot of people would rather say, not me. I'm not interested in the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, you're going to get it anyway, because God knows you need it to grow. So why not embrace it? Why not embrace it instead of complain about it and push it away? Why not realize that part of getting to know Jesus better is to welcome when the suffering comes, knowing that you are now fellowshipping with what he went through for us. Remember that. Go to 1 Peter 4, where the Bible tells us how we should respond when the suffering comes. 1 Peter, look at verse 13. The Bible says, rejoice. That's not usually our first response, is it? Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. You know, the Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter 4, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. The Bible says in the moments leading up to Calvary, his face was so distorted from all the beatings and the beard being plucked out that he didn't even look like a human being anymore. He did all that for us. And he was whipped. Pieces of his flesh were torn off his back. He was punched. Had a crown of thorns put on his head. He was stabbed. He was nailed to a cross. He was mocked. He went through all of that for who? For us. Paul says, now that I had this foundation of knowing I'm in Christ, knowing that I'm going to heaven, knowing that's all settled, I want to know Jesus better. And I want to know his power, but I also want to have the fellowship of his sufferings. When the sufferings come, I want to respond properly and realize Jesus went through this for me. Jesus understands. And what a great perspective to have. So that's why he says here in 1 Peter, rejoice inasmuch you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Don't complain, don't moan, but realize this is all part of getting to know Christ better. Getting to know what he went through for us. So the first thing Paul wants is to know Christ. To know him better. To know his power. To know his sufferings. He goes on to say, on down in verse 12, he says, not that I, as though I'd already attained. He says, I want you to all understand that I don't believe that because I'm Paul the apostle, that because I'm Paul the church planter, that I'm some super Christian and I'm better than everybody else. He says, I don't believe I've arrived yet. I've got work to do. I've got some growing to do. We all do. But we need to have that perspective, don't we? That we do have some growing to do. That we do have more learning to for God to work in our lives. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans 8:29, he did predestinate us to be conformed to the image of his Son. God is conforming us all the time to the image of Jesus Christ. So we haven't attained. There used to be a bumper sticker years ago. It says, be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet. It's true. He isn't finished with us yet. When he's finished with us, he'll bring us home. In the meantime, we've got a job to do. But a lot of Christians have this attitude, well, I've arrived. I've attained. Paul says, not me. He says, verse 12, that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended. That word apprehend means overtaken or captured. Paul says, God has captured me. He's captured me as a person. He's captured my attention. And I want to be completely committed to him. As we're told in Romans, be a living sacrifice. So verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I don't believe I've arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So this is the second thing that Paul wants, and the second thing we all need to be committed to. Number one, that I may know him better. His power, the fellowship of his sufferings. But number two, that I would completely forget, quit focusing on the past. How many Christians spend their time focusing on the past? Most of us know 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. They're gone. And when Jesus was talking about Lot's wife, what did he say? Don't look back. He said, any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. But how many Christians live in the past? People that have wronged you, people that have offended you, things that you've accomplished, they're all in the past. Paul says, they're gone. I'm forgetting all that. I'm not focusing on the past. I'm going to focus on the future. I've got this foundation. I know I'm going to heaven. That's done. Now what do I want? I want to know Jesus better. And I want to forget the past. So what it says, forgetting those things which are behind, not only pre-salvation, but even post-salvation. Anything behind, forgetting those things. So that's the second thing he wants. But then the third thing he says, verse 13, reaching forth unto those things which are before. It doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been saved. If you're still alive, God's not finished. He still wants to develop you. He still wants to grow you. And he still wants your service. Now the service might change based on health or whatever, but he still wants you to serve him. It never ends. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, where Paul taught, or whoever wrote Hebrews, we think it's Paul, talked about how we need to do this very thing. We need to leave the past and move on. And that's what Paul says. I now want to know Jesus better. I want to forget the past, but I want to reach forth. I want to look ahead to the future. What does God want from me? There's more to be done. Look at Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In other words, that's the past. Let's reach forth. Let's go on. Let's run with patience the race that is set before us. God still has plans for us. A lot of Christians are stuck in the past. Well, I taught Sunday school for 20 years. Good for you. Teach it for 20 more because God's not done with you. But there's a lot of Christians like that. Well, I did this. So? God wants you to do more. Forget those things which are in the past and reach forth unto those things which are before. And you know what? Verse 14, press toward the mark. What we're talking about here this morning, my friend, it's work. It's work. It's work to keep learning more about Jesus. We'd rather just say, I've already learned enough. I'm bored. I'm tired. I don't have the energy or whatever. Well, you're wrong. A lot of Christians just say, you know, I've already accomplished a lot for Christ. I'm good. No, we need to forget it. It's in the past. A lot of Christians would rather not reach forth and just keep reaching for more and believing that God has more planned for their lives. Because it's work. Paul says, I'm going to press. That implies it's a bit of a battle, isn't it? And it is. To press toward the mark, to keep pushing to do more for Christ, to keep pushing to forget the past, to keep pushing to know Christ better and to know his sufferings and to know his power. He says, I press. The Christian life is a battle. You know, the Apostle Paul calls it a fight. When he talks to Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith. As a matter of fact, go to 1 Corinthians 9. He mentions it there as well. So what we're talking about this morning is work. It's work to go forward for Christ and leave the past behind and keep learning more about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 9:26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Look at these next three words. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He knows what we're like. Sometimes we just beat the air, don't we? He says, that's not me. I'm here to fight. I'm here to press. Go to Ephesians 6:12. He uses another word. Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Does the word wrestle imply some work? If you've ever wrestled with your siblings, or maybe you did wrestling in school, but wrestling, fighting, pressing, do you see the theme here? Paul says, this is hard work to get to know Jesus better. This is hard work to forget the past. This is hard work to keep reaching forth and reaching forth for more and more. A lot of Christians say, no, I'm done. Well, you know the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. None of us have arrived. None of us are finished. God wants us to keep pressing toward the mark, verse 14, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you're born again this morning, God's called you to do great things. Go to Romans chapter 8. Most of us know verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. For who? To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If you're born again this morning, you have a high calling. You can't just look around and say, oh, that person, that was a great missionary. That could never be me. That was a great witness for Christ. It was a great preacher, great teacher. That could never be me. That's not true. Because everything that they did it through God. And you have the same God living in you. And you have a high calling. You just need to say, Lord, what is it? And if you'll show me, I'll do it. I'll move forward and I'll do it. I will press toward the mark. I'll keep learning more about Christ. I'll not focus on the past. And I'll keep reaching forward for more. And just keep pressing. If you'll give me the power, and He will, I want to find that high calling and fulfill it. And that was Paul. And he got to the end of his life in 2 Timothy and he said, I finished my course. Because he had the rare privilege of knowing his time was close. He knew he was going to be martyred soon. He said, I finished my course. I've done what God called me to do. I just kept pressing and pressing and pressing. I never quit. I never looked back. I never gave up. I just kept pressing. And I believe God wants that from every single one of us. Just keep learning of Jesus. As He says, that I may know Him. And He says, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before, and I'm just going to keep pressing toward the mark. And I'm going to keep wrestling, and I'm going to keep fighting, but I'm not going to quit. You think we're going to get to heaven, and we're going to say, Lord, I quit. I'm sure you're okay with that. We're not going to do it, are we? We're going to fall on our face, and we're going to say, I'm so sorry I quit. I shouldn't have done it. I should have just kept pressing because you were with me. You had a plan for my life and I didn't fulfill it. Do we really want to get to heaven with all those regrets? Just decide it's time to forget the past and keep pressing forward and accomplishing great things for God. I believe God has a plan for every believer to do great things. But most of them don't fulfill it. And they'll get to heaven, and I believe we're going to be shocked at all that God had planned to do through us if we would have just let Him and would have kept reaching and pressing, but it'll be too late. So let's do it now. Let's press toward the mark. Amen. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your love.